Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, America. Well, we got a lot going on today, and we're going to get right to it. Our telephone number, by the way, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So, look, I want to start with this story over the weekend, and I think it's sort of laughable. It's sort of humorous. But the U.S. women's soccer team has been kicked out of the World Cup. They lost to the Swedes over the weekend. And what I find fascinating about all of this is that it was President Trump himself back in 2021 who predicted that the soccer team would actually be destroyed by wokeness cut number three.
Wokeism makes you lose, ruins your mind, and ruins you as a person. You become warped. You become demented. The U.S. women's soccer team is a very good example of what's going on. Earlier this week, they unexpectedly lost to Sweden 3-0. And Americans were happy about it. You proved that point before I even said it.
Yeah, he was speaking to a group of TPUSA people there. And sure enough, Trump was right. The man is prophetic. So the soccer team eliminated. This was, I think, for the gals, this was really one of their worst losses since they were beaten by that group of teenage boys back in 2017. Remember that one? I think that was down in Texas. But anyway, a lot of people are celebrating the fact that the U.S. women's soccer team lost. And the reason why is this has got to be one of the most heinous, one of the most despised group of female athletes in the history of sports outside of the WNBA. I have never seen this level of vitriol directed at a bunch of girls playing soccer. Pardon me, gals. They don't like to be called girls. Anyway, all of this is a result of the team refusing to sing the national anthem. So they did go out there, and this all started, I think, during the first match when they were playing Vietnam. And so they had everybody out there, and the Vietnamese gals were belting it out in four-part harmony, their national anthem. They love their country. And then come the U.S. gals, and they're just slouched over. They're standing there. Some people are smirking. Somebody was smacking, chewing gum. It was a bad look. Nobody had the hands over the hearts. Nobody was singing. And people really got upset about this. So you have to go back to 2019, Megan Rapinoe. And I didn't realize, you know, because again, you know, these days with soccer especially, you don't know who identifies and who's biological. You just don't know. But apparently she's a biological chick. So anyway, Rapinoe's out there. And she back in 2019, I will never put my hand over my heart for the national anthem. And we're like, whoa, okay. Back in 2016, she was the first one to take a knee during the Star Spangled Banner. I stand in solidarity with my friend Colin Kaepernick. That's Megan Rapinoe. So anyway, I thought it was rather fitting that she ended her career with that missed penalty kick, and Trump was mocking her, saying, nice shot, Megan. It's great. By the way, Trump says this is all indicative of the country going to hell. Anyway, I don't know about that. All I do know is that Megan Rapinoe is no longer a professional athlete. She was the one with the red hair or the pink hair or whatever color hair it was, magenta. Anyway, maybe next go around, the U.S. soccer team will actually field a team that loves America and loves the country they're supposed to represent. But I have never in all my days seen a group of unselfish, or rather of selfish, ungrateful whiners. It's just beyond me. So anyway, there was that over the weekend. So then, while all that is going on, Trump is out there and he is crushing it out there on the campaign trail, giving speeches. And he was in Montgomery, Alabama. Then he was in South Carolina. Meanwhile, poor Ron DeSantis, he's out there and he was speaking at some sort of a livestock show. And there were maybe 20 people in the stands, And his campaign is saying, yes, that's intentional. We don't want the large crowds. We don't want tens of thousands of people coming out to see our candidate. We want smaller, more intimate crowds. And I would say that's, exactly what they got. Trump also out there weighing in on the indictments, and it's getting ugly. And by the way, there is a very good chance, and I just want to prepare you now for this. There is a very good chance that Trump could wind up in jail before the trial even starts. And I'll explain why a little bit later on in the program today. But it is not good right now. It is not good. Trump is in hot water with this Obama judge. And right now she's calling the shots. And I agree with President Trump and his lawyers. They want the Supreme Court to intervene, but I'm not sure they can intervene right now. We will see, though. But I've got to start, and we'll get to Ron DeSantis in just a moment. But I want to start with Mike Pence. Now, I've been telling you about Mike Pence for a very long time. I've been telling you that what you see is not necessarily what you get. Now, a lot of people in the evangelical world love Mike Pence. This man can do no wrong. But Mike Pence has done a lot of wrong. And it turns out that Mike Pence is the snake. Mike Pence is now saying that he is going to testify against Donald Trump. And I believe it is going to get ugly. Now, the Team Trump folks are saying, hey, look, what Mike Pence is out there saying, we told him, is not true. And you can decide who you want to believe here. But you have to go all the way back to the beginning with Mike Pence, and that was back in 2015, when this guy promised to defend evangelicals, promised to defend people of faith, and then he turned around and he stabbed him in the back. So I'm not surprised that Mike Pence has done this here. But I'm telling you, Mike Pence, there's an ugly streak with him. And a little bit of it came out over the weekend in New Hampshire. Mike Pence was going to a campaign event, and there are a lot of Trump supporters there, and they called him a traitor. And Pence really got snippy with these people. Didn't have to, but he got snippy with them. That's who he really is, by the way. So there's always this undercurrent of weirdness around Mike Pence. And I think it's because he's trying to portray himself one way in public, and then in private, he's a snake. And now we're beginning to see the snake. And this is going to be very effective for Mike Pence. We've already started to see him rise in the polls just a smidge, but it's beyond that. I don't care what you're hearing about DeSantis. The establishment, they're ready to throw in the towel on this guy. DeSantis is not moving the needle. He's just not moving the needle. So now the establishment, they have to find somebody else, and they realize, wait a second, it was Mike Pence all along. Mike Pence was plotting all along. He was just waiting to stick the knife in the back of Donald Trump. So maybe Mike Pence is really our guy after all. So you watch and see what's going to happen with establishment Republicans. They're going to begin to make the switch here very soon. And I know DeSantis and his team, well, we really don't like crowds. You do like crowds. Your candidate just can't attract the crowds. So you watch what's going to happen here. I am telling you, the establishment, if Mike Pence continues down this path, he will be the darling of the establishment. All right, 844-747-8868. I want to go to the phones here. Troy in North Carolina wants to weigh in on this girl soccer team. Hey, Troy, what you got for us today? Hello, Troy. All right, 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, so let me explain something here that happened over the weekend. Trump posting an item on True Social. And look, I agree with the president here. He says, you come after me, I'm going to come after you. Well, Jack Smith, the prosecutor now, is very upset. He's threatening me. He's threatening me. We've got to do something. Come on, Judge Shaka Khan. You've got to do something. How dare you? How dare you do nothing? So look, so now the judge is demanding that the Trump legal team file a report by the end of business today, 5 o'clock today. You've got Jack Smith wanting a protective order, and this protective order, if it is granted, would prevent Trump from sharing any information about the case with the public. And it seems to me that the public has a First Amendment right to see the evidence against Donald Trump. So they're playing dirty here. And the other big issue is whether or not this judge, who was appointed to the bench by Barack Hussein Obama, can actually deliver a fair trial here. By the way, you've got the Attorney General of West Virginia, Patrick Morrisey, and he says, hey, why don't you just bring the case over to West Virginia, move it out of Washington, D.C. We can do a fair and balanced trial. Cut 18.
Well, Marie, I would say that one of the fundamentals of due process in our criminal justice system is to be able to have a fair trial in a fair tribunal. And does anyone watching, does anyone in America believe that President Trump is going to get a fair shake out of Washington, D.C.? And I think most people would say, whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump, you're not going to get that fair shake. So what I'm suggesting is that this should be moved to West Virginia. We have a number of federal district courthouses that could properly house this. I think that he could get a fair hearing. And I think that there's no reason why the prosecutor shouldn't support this move. Because, Maria, the biggest thing that a prosecutor should be focusing on isn't just trying to get guilt from the person he's targeting. It should be to administer justice. That's the duty of a prosecutor. I think if you move it to West Virginia, you would actually take away a lot of the political concerns that are out there. So I think it's a strong idea. I think the prosecutor should think very carefully about this and get behind it.
I like this idea. We've got to get this case out of D.C. But folks, I'm telling you, the judge here may very well threaten Trump and say, you speak out against this again on social media, because Trump is coming after the judge. And everything he's saying is true. But there's a very good chance this judge could get ticked off and just throw him in jail. And it seems to me at that point, the presidential race is over. It's Trump's, right? It's unbelievable. Meanwhile, you've got Ron DeSantis out there. And I want to explain what you're about to hear is the reason why Ron DeSantis will not be president of the United States. Cut number 10.
Yes or no, did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Whoever puts their hand on the Bible on January 20th every 4 years is the winner.
Okay, but respectfully, you did not clearly answer that question. And if you can't give a yes or no because on whether or not Trump lost, then how can
you... Of course he lost.
Trump lost the 2020 election.
Of course. Okay. Joe Biden's the president. But the issue is, I think what people in the media and elsewhere, they want to act like somehow this was just like the perfect election.
Does that sound presidential to you? Answer the question. Just answer the question. Yes or no. And he's afraid to answer it because he knows in his heart of hearts that Trump won that election, but he can't say it. He cannot bring himself to admit it. Cut number 23.
Referendum on Joe Biden's policies and the failures that we've seen, and we are presenting a positive vision for the future. We will win the presidency, and we will have a chance to turn the country around. If, on the other hand, the election is not about January 20th, 2025, but January 6th, 2021, or what document was left by the toilet at Mar-a-Lago. If it's a referendum on that, we are going to lose.
But
and that's
Trump
just the reality.
Race, you know, with Trump in the race, that is largely what it's going to be about. And right now,
and
you're not fighting against Joe Biden. You're fighting against Trump.
That's not a pathway for success for the Republican Party. I think a lot of our voters understand that.
Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Do you agree with Ron DeSantis there? But again, I'm telling you, the guy, if he cannot man up and directly go after Donald Trump. And I've got a problem with that. Look, I am supporting President Trump. He has my endorsement, and I have been pretty vocal about that. But at the same time, if you were going to be running against Trump, you've got to have the fortitude and the courage to stand your ground and say why Trump should not be the next president of the United States. He can't do that. He gets real cute about it. Well, if the election's going to be about the documents left by the toilet at Mar-a-Lago, hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. By the way, you know, that's where Donald Trump owns. He owns Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, no, that's not going to work. Come on, man. Come on, just man up and address Trump one-on-one. And part of me would love to see Trump at that debate coming up later this month in Milwaukee just go toe-to-toe with these guys. But I'm not sure DeSantis would be able to handle it. I don't think he would be able to handle the moment. I am getting more and more discouraged by Ron DeSantis, and I'm beginning to believe, much like Ed Rollins, that maybe it's not so much the campaign staff as it is the candidate himself. Maybe that's the bigger problem. 844-747-8868 is our number. I think we got Troy back in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the soccer team. Hi, Troy. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me now, Todd?
Loud and clear, Troy.
Like Mr. Thurman said, is the machine on? Anyway, sometimes you want to throw these things out the window when they don't work right, Todd.
Indeed.
So, thank you for taking my call. This is what you get when you got a bunch of girls, like high school girls, that's what they're acting like, playing this game. They ought to respect the game a little bit more and respect the country that they're representing. And I don't think they're doing that. I think they lost sight of that. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. That's the sad thing about it. They got beat by a good, good team. Brazil and Sweden are probably the top two teams in the circuit. But still, nonetheless, those girls acting the way they're acting, if they don't like America, then quit playing for America. And then while they're doing that, get out of the country.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Russia's very nice this time of year, according to Brittany Griner. I would say, hey, if you don't like it here, head over there. But beyond that, Troy, I would have loved to have seen the coach, and this is where you really need to have adult leadership and supervision. I would have loved to have seen the coach, after the very first disrespecting of the national anthem, pull the team off the field and go right back home. You know what? We're forfeiting. We're out of here. We can't represent our country. We can't honor our country. We have no business wearing the uniform. That's what I would have done. All right, Troy, appreciate that call. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? We just have to start playing hardball with these athletes. You're going to disrespect America at the Olympics? Fine, you're off the team. And by the way, you're paying your own way back home. 844-747-8868. That's our number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Today, folks, a lot going on. Let's get to the phones here. Greg in Gainesville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on Ron DeSantis. Hey, Greg, what you got for us?
Well, I just, this thing about Ron DeSantis, see, actually, I do blame Ed Rollins and everybody else, because I think behind the scenes, they were needling Ron DeSantis. Hey, man, you got to run. You got to run. You're our only hope. You're our only hope. And, but he really, his heart wasn't in it. His heart was in Florida. That's why he waited so long to get in. Now, I think they just wore him down to where he said, okay, I'm going to get in, because his heart's not in it, is what I think.
So when they just wore him down. You know, you may be onto something here, Greg, because I just don't see the energy level. You know, it's almost, you know, was it a couple of weeks ago? He was at this Dairy Queen, and there was just low energy. It's almost like someone is forcing him to hang out with these people.
Well, look at his campaign for governor of Florida. Totally different than his presidential campaign. His heart was totally in for running for governor of Florida, but it's not in running for president right now. I think he didn't want to get in. I think he wanted to wait another 4 years.
Hmm.
I really do.
How do you see this playing out, Greg? I mean, what's the way out for DeSantis?
Well, he's got to own it. He just own it, and we'll still love him for it. But I mean, I'm voting for Trump whether he's going to jail or not. I mean, that's all there is to it.
And Greg, there are so many other people that feel exactly like you do. There was a survey that was done, but I'm not buying the results of that. I think if Trump goes to jail, I think every Republican, every true Republican's voting for the guy.
Oh, yeah. And he's right. He is one indictment away from winning the presidency.
That's it. And it could happen. It could happen a few miles south of you in Atlanta. Would not be surprised if they try to pull shenanigans and try to throw him in jail.
Oh yeah, Fulton County. Never mind. They're so corrupt down there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Greg, appreciate that call and thank you for listening. Greg raises an interesting point, and maybe that's it. Maybe it is something as simple as Ron DeSantis, his heart is not in this race. Maybe that's it. But I am curious, ladies and gentlemen. Trump goes to jail. Let's say the judge in D.C. throws Trump in jail, because you're not going to keep Trump quiet, and he is not going to not release information. You know, he wants us to know, and I believe it's his right to do that. But let's say he's forced to campaign from jail. Would you vote for him? 844-747-8868. Let's take a listen to Trump out on the campaign trail over the weekend. Cut 16.
I don't like that deal, but that's okay. No, I'm being indicted for you. I'm being indicted because of what we've done, and I'm being indicted because they're afraid of all of us, because we have a movement that's never been seen in the history of our country. Make America Great Again, MAGA. It's never been seen. There's never been anything like this. And never forget, our enemies want to stop us because we are the only ones who can stop them. We're the only ones. And this is why this election is so important. They want to take away my freedom, because I will never let them take away your freedom. I'll never let that happen. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. And in the end, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just standing in their way, and I will never stop standing in their way. You're going to be protected. I promise you this. If you put me back in the White House, their reign will be over and America will be a free nation once again. We're not a free nation right now. We're not a free nation.
No, we're not. And he is right about that. And Trump is spot on accurate here. They are terrified that you finally woke up. And that's why the DOJ sent the FBI agents to silence and intimidate and bully the pro-lifers. And that's why they sent them to go after the moms and dads who raise concerns at school board meetings. That's why they tried to infiltrate the Catholic Church there in Richmond, Virginia, WRVA territory. That's why they want to bully you, intimidate you into submission. And they're getting concerned because they're realizing, wait a second, they can't silence Trump, and now they're not being able to silence you. So it's getting, we're heading into very dangerous waters here. And it'll be interesting to see what happens because the government will overplay its hand here, folks. That will happen. They will overplay all of this. All right, let's go to Patrick in Beach Bluff, Tennessee, listening to us on Super Talk Radio. Hi, Patrick. What's going on?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Mr. Starnes?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Okay, well, I was going to say about what happens if the Trump is in prison. The media is beating a dead horse because they're ignoring the fact that the Constitution says nothing about a president being unable to run if he's in prison. The only way that an elected official can be took out of office or prevented from being reelected is if he's impeached and prosecuted by the Senate and the House. So there's already been a candidate, Eugene V. Debs, that ran from prison in 1920. So that's my thoughts on that.
Well, Trump is going to run from prison and run if he has to. He will run the campaign from his prison cell. And the reality is whether the question rather is whether or not people will vote for him. And Patrick, I'm wondering, what about yourself? Would you be more inclined to vote for Trump if that happened?
Yeah, I'm going to be willing to vote for him either way. The only way I wouldn't vote for the man if he did a radical change on his policy to where I couldn't vote for him anymore.
You see, and that's it. And that's it. It's the policies, Patrick. It's the policies. And I think there are many other people around the nation that feel just like you do. Patrick, God bless you. And thank you for listening to us from Beach Bluff, Tennessee. And it is about the policies. And that's what people don't seem to understand. Now, you've got DeSantis out there saying, yes, Trump lost. And what he's basically saying is there was no voter fraud. I mean, that's what DeSantis is trying to say, but he can't go that far. But that's what he's trying to say here. Then over the weekend, you've got this evangelical leader in Iowa. His name is Bob Vanderplatz. He is the president of the Family Leader. And this guy has been anti-Trump for a very long time now. So they posted a photograph over the weekend of Ron DeSantis and his wife going to church in Iowa with Bob Vanderplatz, who, by the way, is an evangelical believer. We believe that Ron DeSantis is a Catholic, we think. I want to read to you something that this guy, Bob Vanderplatz, wrote over the weekend about Donald Trump. The problem people of faith have with real Donald Trump isn't church attendance. It has everything to do with the fruit of the Spirit. This is coming from the Daily Wire. It has everything to do with the fruits of the Spirit. For example, F-bombs and mocking people with disabilities. You can be a statesman while being a bold leader. Now, this is the coverage of the Daily Wire. But what the Daily Wire did not report, they left out the most important part of all of this. And the most important part of all of this is that it was yours truly who started the conversation. And they left out what I wrote. And here's what I wrote. And I'm going to read this to you verbatim from my Twitter feed. I think it's great when the candidates attend church. Many Never Trumpers were upset because Trump was not a frequent churchgoer. So where does the DeSantis family worship back in Florida? And how often do they attend? And that, and the reply I got from Bob Vanderplatz was what I just read. He never answered the question. And so I did a little bit of a deep dive here, and it turns out that a lot of people in Florida have a hard time trying to figure out where Ron DeSantis goes to church. Now, of late, they have now become, I don't know, passionate about their faith. But the fact of the matter is, nobody has seen him or his wife grace the church doors. So I am kind of curious about that. Again, I'm not judging the man, but if you're going to, and again, if you are going to portray Ron DeSantis as an evangelical Christian leader when, in fact, he's a Roman Catholic who doesn't go to church that much. I got a problem with that. That is what we call deception. So anyway, nobody answered my question. And then I asked another question. I'd like to hear the governor's salvation story, his testimony. I'd also like to know if he attends church on a regular basis and how his Christian worldview impacts his decision making. Again, they're the ones that brought all of this up, right? So I'm just asking questions, and now I'm getting attacked by all the DeSantis people. How dare you? Are you saying that Ron DeSantis is not a Christian? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just asking questions. You posted this photograph, and again, this is the president of the family leader. They're the folks that had all the candidates for the big debate with Glenn Beck. And by the way, nobody bothered to ask these questions at the debate, which I found to be a little peculiar. I mean, if you are a faith-based organization, it seems to me your job, your responsibility in the public arena is to ask the questions about a candidate's faith. But they don't want to go down, and they get very upset when you start asking questions. Wow, I didn't realize Ron DeSantis went to church. Where does he go to church? How dare you? What are you saying? I'm just asking a question. Where does he go to church? So there you go. This DeSantis crowd, they don't like you asking any questions at all. At all. Anyway, come on, Daily Wire. Do better than that. There's no need to edit out. And again, it was just a simple question. I didn't mean to create a national controversy over this. But come on. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Ernie in North Carolina listening to us on WTKF. Hi, Ernie. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, it doesn't interest me whatsoever what faith candidate practices or does not practice. I just wanted to say that I'm going to vote for Trump probably for two reasons. Number one, I think he's the best person to run our country. And number two, if they put him in jail, he'll be a political prisoner. And I don't like political prisoners at all. I like to see people free and be able to speak their mind.
Ernie, we've already got political prisoners, and many of them are in jail right now based on trumped up charges around J6.
That's my point, Todd.
And I'll tell you this, Ernie, I have greater fears that they may be going after Trump supporters with the same zealous attitude. And I say that based on a conversation that Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett had. And Ernie, we're going to let you go. I want to share this audio, and thank you for calling. This is cut number 12.
What do you have to say to your colleagues across the aisle who are clamoring to defend the indefensible charges against defendant Trump?
So first of all, good morning. And your commentary about the speaker finding a spine is hilarious to me because, he is definitely spineless. Listen, the idea that the biggest scandal that I remember when Obama was in office was his tan suit, right? They were all up in arms about the tan suit. And now there's nothing to see with three separate indictments in multiple states on multiple levels. It's absolutely ridiculous. And no one is being prosecuted for their thoughts. They're being prosecuted, or he is being prosecuted for his actions, along with his co-conspirators in the various indictments that he has. We have seen Jack lay out in multiple pages of indictments as what has been described on y'all's network as a shouting indictment in this last indictment. He has clearly laid out the actions of not only Trump, but his co-conspirators. And honestly, anyone who was paying attention on January 6th, we saw what his actions led to. And so, no, it's not his thoughts, it's his actions. It is absolutely ridiculous that we have these actions that are playing out by my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. You know, they are really getting dangerously close, in my opinion, to criminal culpability in and of themselves as well. And so if I were them, I would stop taking so many actions and continue to express your thoughts. But they are the ones that are weaponizing government when they are taking our committees and they are running these sham seemingly trials on behalf of Trump. We have said over and over and over that in a minute they are going to have to turn in FEC filings because of all of the contributions that they are giving to the Trump campaign.
All right. So this Congress gal here is suggesting that Republicans who defend Donald Trump could themselves be charged with crimes. You see what's going on here? They are laying the foundation for yet more opportunities to crack down on the average American citizen. So if you stand up in public, in the public square, and you defend Trump, somehow you will be close to criminal culpability here. So they want to terrify all you people. And we're not going to let that happen. We're just not. So, ladies and gentlemen, keep defending your president. You have a right to do that under the Constitution. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. So, look, I think Donald Trump is stronger than ever right now. I truly do. And if he stays the course, then I think we're gonna be victorious. I absolutely believe that. All of this other stuff, folks, I think people are going to see through it. And at the end of the day, I don't think Trump is guilty of any crimes here. I mean, I have yet to see any evidence that this president has committed a crime. By the way, can we say something about the House of Representatives? What are they waiting on? Do you realize that the House of Representatives, controlled by Kevin McCarthy, the Republican Speaker of the House, and they've yet to do anything? There are no impeachment proceedings started. But beyond that, let's just set aside the impeachment because that's not going to happen. They're not going to do it. McCarthy doesn't want to go down that path. He doesn't want to punish Merrick Garland. He doesn't want to punish Alejandro Mayorkas. He doesn't want to punish Joe Biden. It's not going to happen. But one of the other things that the Republicans do have control over are the purse strings. So why haven't the Republicans made a decision to defund the Department of Homeland Security and the Justice Department? Why haven't they done that? Why haven't they gone after the Justice Department and shut down the bank account? They've got the power to do that, but they refuse to do it. And that ought to give all of us pause for concern. What you need to be doing is calling your elected member of Congress and saying, what the heck is going on here? Why are you not defunding the Justice Department? Why are you not impeaching people? Folks, the Republicans are still at the country club. They're not in the street fight just yet. And sooner or later, they're going to have to decide whether or not they're going to fight alongside their president. Because right now they're standing on the sidelines. They're drinking their apple teenies in the country club with the little pinky finger extended, and they're not willing to get into the fight. So the question is, when are they going to jump into the fight? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to get to your calls coming up next. Also, you're not going to believe what Disney's doing. Unbelievable. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's it.
Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. And by the way, want to thank all of you. We had hundreds of people signing up for the sweepstakes, and we'll be announcing the winner very soon. And the winner gets an all-expense-paid trip to Memphis, Tennessee. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to be able to sit in on the program, and we're very excited about that. By the way, Friday, I will be anchoring primetime on Newsmax TV. Greg Kelly's taking some time off, and I'll be filling in this coming Friday and the following Friday. So back and forth between Memphis and New York City, and hope you will make time to watch us on Newsmax TV later this week. All right, we've got a lot to get to this hour of the program, but I do want to go to the phone lines. Tariq is listening to us on KWAM, our flagship radio station in Memphis. Tariq, I know you want to weigh in on Trump and the upcoming trials. What you got for us?
Well, yeah. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Stein?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How's things?
Things are good. Thank you for asking.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, that this female, she's a federal judge. I think she's a federal judge.
Yes, and, we call her Judge Chaka Khan. That's
Chaka Khan.
I think that's the correct pronunciation, Tariq.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, if she's going to be presiding over this case, and if she was appointed by Barack Obama to preside over this case, and if the people who's going to be serving as jurors, if they're all from out of Washington, D.C., if they're going to be serving as jurors in this case, and if they're from, if they happen to be from Washington, D.C., then there's no way that Trump is going to get a fair trial.
No, sir. And, you got that right, Tariq.
and, you know, so they really, really, really should be pushing towards having that trial relocated to a neutral town where Trump can at least get a fair trial. And if it was possible, I would push towards getting another judge to preside over that trial if it was possible, because you know it's obvious that you know Merrick Garland was appointed by Barack Obama, and this judge, this federal judge, she was also appointed by Barack Obama. So it appears to be the perfect storm, you know, for the Democratic Party. So I would really push hard in having this case relocated to a neutral site where Trump will at least get a fair trial.
Yeah, Tariq, I'm with you, and I know the Attorney General for West Virginia says, hey, come on over. You know, that's actually in the vicinity, in the metro D.C. area. So that would not be out of the realm of possibility. But I'm with you. He would have a better chance of getting a fair trial in downtown Memphis than he would in Washington, D.C. That's just not going to happen. And Tariq, it's good advice, and I guarantee you the president's attorneys are going to be using that as they figure all of this out. Tariq, thank you for the call. God bless you. What is going on in Oakland and San Francisco? The crime there is off the charts. I want to play some audio. This is, and I feel bad for this woman. I sincerely do. But I'm gonna make a few observations. I guarantee you this gal voted for Democrats. And as a result, look, elections have consequences. Democrats are soft on crime. I don't know how many times we have to tell people this. Nobody wants to believe us. But take a listen to this Gen Z resident of San Francisco.
I'm literally shaking right now. I was just getting groceries, and I live in San Francisco, and I never really feel fully safe. If you live in San Francisco, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And I just got groceries. I'm walking out of the store, and this guy is walking past me and says, move, you stupid, and he spits in my face, spits all over my face. And then I say, excuse me, did you just spit in my face? And he says, move or I'll rape you. There's also people everywhere, and everyone's just walking by because they're like, I can't handle something else in San Francisco. It's always something else. I don't even know why I'm posting this. If you live in San Francisco, do you feel this way all the time? I don't feel safe, ever. I literally never feel safe. It's better when it's daylight. But nighttime, no, not leaving my house.
No, look, I feel bad for the. I really feel bad for this woman. I do, but I'm sorry. This is what you voted for, right? When you go out there and you elect these Democrats, what did you think was going to happen? When they said they were going to go soft on crime, what did you think was going to happen? And if you think it's bad there, it's even worse over in Oakland, which is across the Bay Bridge, where Asian Americans are being targeted by black gangs doing these home invasion robberies. And what I find fascinating about the report you're about to listen to, they will tell you everything you need to know about everything involved in this except for one thing. the skin color of the perpetrators. That's, but I have seen the video, and so I can tell you that the case is very clear. Blacks are staging home invasion robberies targeting these poor Asian American folks. Cut number 15.
One of the home invasions listed in police documents obtained by the I-team. Monday of this week, an 80-year-old man and a 69-year-old wife are caring for their two grandchildren when robbers break in a second-floor window.
One man was downstairs with my parents, keeping an eye on them, while the other one was upstairs trying to get into our safe, ransacking, our closet, our bedrooms, looking for valuables.
The men held the couple at gunpoint for nearly 40 minutes, a terrifying ordeal, their daughter tells me.
During this time, my mom was trying to rush them out of the house by saying, hey, someone's going to be home soon. My son-in-law is going to be home from work soon, so we need to hurry up and get what you need. She offered them cash and say, hey, if what you're looking for is cash, here's cash, but just take it. Please don't hurt any of us.
The criminals got away with $10,000 in cash and jewelry. The family has had three other attempted home invasions, and with each one, they take a new security precaution. The fence, the cameras, the dog, a German Shepherd now 11 years old. He didn't stop the criminals this week.
What's his name?
His name is Felix.
Felix, you got to do your job, pal.
Officials here at the Oakland Police Department will not provide anybody to talk on camera about these issues, saying they're part of an ongoing investigation. But privately, sources tell me they are upset about this crime spree continuing and they want the story told.
The sources gave me a copy of an internal advisory that says OPD has series of approximately 50 to 12.5 or first degree robberies targeting Asian homes, mostly elderly couples in Oakland Hills area. I also have seen internal police memos detailing each of the incidents that investigators say appear to be connected, committed by the same small group of criminals. This cinematographer had his front door pushed in 2 weeks ago, just before 4 a.m.
I mean, it was very loud. It was like an explosion. We thought, I don't know, something crazy happened or on the street, but it was coming from inside the house.
Tony tells me one of the robbers chased him up the stairs with a knife, and he barricaded the bedroom door while his wife called 911.
We were just terrified. We were just screaming at the top of our lungs, hoping someone would hear us.
The police arrived within minutes, but the criminals got away with $40,000 in camera gear. I told Tony about the police alert that criminals are targeting homes owned by Asian families.
With Asian hate crimes and everything, it was already hard to exist as an Asian in this community, and now it sounds even harder.
There you go. And my heart goes out to these folks. They're just in the privacy of their homes, and all of a sudden, you have these gangs of black thugs running in, and I mean, it is terrifying. Guns ablazing, the whole nine yards. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, and the reality is very clear that elections have consequences. Now, we've got to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to play you some audio from Stockton, California. That was the scene of this beautiful story, 7-Eleven. You had these 7-Eleven workers, all Sikhs, and they were sick and tired of getting robbed. They had been robbed three times in a row by the same guy. So when he came back in, he decided, you know what? Forget this. We're not gonna be victims again. By the way, this store directly across the street from the police department. So you can imagine the frustration here. And now they're beating. So they beat the guy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is going to shock you. But now the store workers are under investigation by police for assault. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to play some audio here. And one of the local newspapers, the Modesto Bee, is saying that the workers deserve to go to jail because they broke the law. How dare they stop a bad guy from robbing them blind? Who do they think they are? Anyway, we're gonna take a break here. We're gonna take your calls on this. And my question is, do you believe that elections have consequences? Do you believe that the reason why crime is skyrocketing in major American cities is because of the Democrats and their policies? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
seen in this now viral video is under investigation by the Stockton Police Department. The more than 5-minute clip shows a man emptying shelves of cigarettes from a Stockton 7-Eleven store into a trash can.
And I'm telling him, no, there's nothing we could do. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing, you know, we just let him take and just go.
And store clerks stepping in. As a bystander recorded the tense moments. That 7-Eleven is on South Center Street in Stockton.
Trying to fill it out because I say, my job is to make it home.
It's about a half mile away from the business co-owned by the man who took that video, who wanted only to be identified as Data.
Hopefully everyone learns in the situation to win a good, better mind state next time.
He says he was just stopping by the 7-Eleven for Red Bull and gas when he saw the masked man go behind the counter.
Once the guy was done, he tried to bypass the other employee. Other employee grabbed him, and the other employee went and grabbed the stick. And then from there, the fiasco happens.
In the clip, the man is hit more than 24 times.
Then I had to get really stern with my words. It's enough. And then, so they kind of stopped, and I kind of was narrating the situation. Look, he doesn't have a gun. He's all right. Are you done? Are you done? Are you done? All right, now it's time for everyone to go. He need to go, and you guys need to stop.
Stockton police said that someone from the business eventually called police. Police say a report was taken and that this is an ongoing investigation.
That's enough. That's enough.
Data says he worries the situation could have escalated further had he not been there. Says the city and the people in it need to step up and be better than what he saw inside.
We just need to figure out together as community and people that we got to love each other. We got to do better.
Well, yes, and you can start by stopping the shoplifters. And say what you want to about what those store clerks did. I guarantee you that shoplifter is going to think long and hard before he ever does something like that again. And more to the point, I can promise you that shoplifter won't be stealing anything from that store again. So it seems to me that all's well that ends well, right? Taxpayers are not out any money. We don't have to foot the bill to send this guy to jail. And it looks to me like justice was served here. Am I wrong? 844-747-8868. But the idea now that you've got the police coming after the clerks and investigating them for assault, this is bonkers. Now, the Modesto Bee, that's the newspaper there in that part of the country. This is their staff editorial. So the entire editorial board of the Modesto Bee got together, and it took all of them to write this. Here's the headline: Stockton 7-Eleven clerks went too far in viciously beating brazen shoplifter. Now let me stop right there. All those people on the editorial board, and they don't know that the 11 and 7-Eleven is spelled out. Nobody knows that. Come on, do better, Modesto Bee. Reading from the op-ed, store clerks have legal options when someone shoplifts. Teaming up to brutally beat the thief is not one of them. Well, I don't think it was that brutal of a beating. I mean, skin, they didn't break the skin, did they? I don't think they did. The Bee goes on to write, no wonder two 7-Eleven clerks in Stockton who battered a would-be shoplifter. All right, let me stop right there. First of all, again, it's 7, spell out the word 11. But there was no would-be shoplifter. The guy was shoplifting. It's all there on video. The clerks who battered a would-be shoplifter with a wooden rod are being investigated by police. Although brazen stealing is frustrating, costly, and dangerous to store employees, confronting it with violence that far exceeds self-defense is not the answer. And so anyway, the Bee goes on in this lengthy op-ed to say that the store clerks had no right to do what they did. And they say that the criminals should have been allowed to do what they were going to do. And the criminals should not have suffered any sort of penalty. In this case, the robber was impeded. I'm reading from the editorial again. In this case, the robber was impeded from getting away with it. Yes, that's the whole point. Pardon me. One clerk grabs the shoplifter's arm and takes him to the ground while another man wails on the suspect with a pole, raining more than 24 blows in full arc swings, mostly to his legs and torso as the man screams in pain. Where is the line when it comes to protecting property? Well, that's a good question. But the reality of it is this. Those clerks had a right to defend their store. The Bee goes on to say, no doubt the Stockton clerks were frustrated. Authorities say the partially masked man had stolen from the store before. A police station is just across the street, and that may have contributed to the frustration of the clerks. But again, we don't know that, and we should not assume that. Even if this were the case of being frustrated over theft on commercial property, it is not a justification of violence in the, according to the law. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Thrashing the guy with a big rod viciously and repeatedly is not a lawful response. They're calling it vigilantism. Street justice may be popular in movies or among frustrated citizens, but it has no place in a society governed by the rule of law. What rule of law? No, seriously, because in California, the criminals have more rights than the victims do. So it seems to me that these clerks did the right thing. And I say good on them. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. Should the clerks face jail time? Because that's what it's looking like here if they get prosecuted. 844-747-8868. I would love to be on that jury. I'm telling you. Well, folks, President Trump fighting back, and we love it. And that's why he says you need to be reading the great new book by David Horowitz called The Final Battle. It exposes what the far left is up to. In The Final Battle, David Horowitz warns of deep state efforts to stop Trump, and we're seeing those play out in real time right now. President Trump says you got to get a copy of this book before the next election, and our friends at Newsmax are going to help you do that free of charge. All you have to do is go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com, and you're going to be able to get a copy of the great new book from David Horowitz. We'll be right back, America.
I showed up at Fancy Farms, tried to turn on all of my charms, but the folks were up in arms. I got booed by you. They say get off the stage, they're enraged. I get booed by you. My own people say, Mitch, go away. I get booed by you. Says it's too late, Mitch, we are through with you. You're dishonest and vile, and you are senile. That's why they...
Oh, my. Thank you, Jim Gossett there. Wow, that was insane. Over the weekend, Mitch McConnell, who is back among the living, barely, was in Kentucky and at a big gathering and was booed literally for 5 minutes. You couldn't understand a word the guy was saying. And look, a lot of these people that were booing, and they don't say this on the on the news coverage, but most of them were Democrats, and they were holding signs for Andy Beshear, who's the governor of Kentucky. But it looks like Mitch is done. It looks like he has put a fork in him. He's pickled. It's not good. It is not good for Mitch McConnell. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Want to play some audio from a new TikTok page that is hosted by Disney called Disney Style, and they promote all of these people that are wearing Disney couture, if you will. And one of them featured a grown man who decided that he was going to dress as Minnie Mouse. That would be the female Mouse. There's Mickey Mouse, and then there's Minnie Mouse, who is is there a relation there? Are they boyfriend and girlfriend, or just are they friends? I do not know. But anyway, here's this dude being promoted by Disney, dressing in women's clothing as Minnie Mouse, cut four.
Let's get dressed. Today, we're looking at the most iconic friend group, Disney's Mickey and Friends. And the character most like me is Minnie Mouse. And I have the most perfect dress to start the look. It even has little Mickeys on it. And I love how bold of a red it is. It's just like Minnie. I'm thinking of layering a fun collar, like this one, just to give it a little more flair. But now I feel like the dress needs more shape. So let's add this white petticoat under it. It's so fun to move in, and I love how it peeks out at the bottom. And to add even more shape, this belt should do the trick. Now for hair, I'm thinking of doing space buns. So let's pull out my hair donuts, and just like that, it kind of looks like I have Minnie ears. And Minnie wears gloves, so I need gloves. I'm also going to add this watch with Minnie and all her friends on it. It's so cute. But now, to be as bold as Minnie, I need a bold red lip. It's a classic, and it's so pretty. Now, let's add some black tights and pull out the iconic yellow pump. I'm just like Minnie Mouse. But wait, something's missing. I know. How could I forget? A giant red bow, the biggest fashion statement. And now, the look is complete. I literally look like Minnie Mouse, and I fit in perfectly with Mickey and his friends. The bow, with the dress and the shoes, really sealed the deal. Now I'm fashionable, bold, and fun, just like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Basically, you're an ugly dude in a dress. And Dylan, why are you shaking your head?
Because the whole time I was listening to it, it just sounded like he was playing like Super Mario or something, like on an old console, just all those sound effects. I haven't seen the video. I got the audio.
We've got the video up at toddstearns.com, and it's as horrifying as you might imagine it to be. But I'm not sure. I mean, is that the thing now? I mean, So the guy's not transgender, I don't believe. I mean, he's still got the hairy legs and a little looks to be a little bit of some facial hair growing there under the lip or under the nose. I don't know. But anyway, this Disney says this needs to be celebrated. This guy needs to be celebrated. And I don't know why, you know, a lot of people are going back to Disney now. And just the other day, I saw that a big church group is heading down to Disney. Why? Why are you people going there to support all of this? Why would you do that? This makes absolutely no sense to me. But anyway, they're coming after your kids, folks. They are. And that's the only reason that Disney is highlighting this in their Disney style TikTok page. They're coming after your kids. And they're not the only ones. There's also a situation going on with Harry's Razors. And this hits a little close to home because yours truly happens to use the Harry's Razors. And now they've got a commercial on Harry's, and it features a woman who has chopped off all of her private parts. And she's standing in front of the mirror with her, I don't know, friend, her lady friend, which makes them lesbians, but she identifies as a dude, but they're still lesbians. So anyway, they're introducing a new product line for women to use at Harry's, but it's not for women. They're saying it's for men who identify as women. It's all very confusing, but here's the chief executive officer of Harry's explaining their new policies.
You know, created a really sort of unbalanced dynamic and made the co-parenting thing really hard to actually live in practice. And so, you know, that experience, you know, was one that led us to this conclusion that, hey, we need not just a general parental leave policy, but an equal parental leave policy that treats birthing and non-birthing parents equally. So we implemented that and give everybody 4 months, regardless of whether you're the birthing parent or the non-birthing parent. Thanks. And then last, we also, as a company, have always tried to sort of be socially minded and not just be about bottom line profits.
All right. So here's the deal. They're part of this birthing and non-birthing. So let me explain this. If you're a man, you cannot give birth to a child, period. That's it. There's really no discussion about that. If you're a woman, you've got the ability to give birth, but not the men. I mean, it really is that simple. And I hate to break this to the chick who call off her private parts and thinks he's a man, and now they have to create some special razors for women who want to use a man's razor. They already have something like that. It's called a Lady Bic. There you go. Meanwhile, just to put a bow on this, much like Minnie Mouse, the former owner of Bud Light, of Anheuser-Busch, Billy Bush, says Bud Light is no longer America's beer, and his father and grandfather would be rolling over in their graves over what the owners of the company have done. Cut 24.
You must have strong opinions about the
Dylan Mulvaney campaign.
Yeah, Dylan Mulvaney campaign.
I think my family, my ancestors would have rolled over in their grave. They were very patriotic. They loved this country and what it stood for. They believed that transgender, gays, that sort of thing was all a very personal issue. They loved this country because it is a free country and people are allowed to do what they want. But it was never meant to be on a beer can and never meant to be pushed in people's faces. So they would have they would have never marketed their brands that way. As you know, AB was one of the greatest marketers ever in any business. And they were incredible with what they came out with, the Clydesdales, the frogs, the lizards, all the different promotions they had, all the different advertising they had. And the last thing they would have done was to get as controversial as they did, as InBev has with Dylan Mulvaney advertising.
Do you think that, I mean, look, the motivation behind it was clearly inclusiveness. What do you think of the reaction to to that Instagram post? Because the reaction was seismic.
Yeah, you know, I think people who drink beer, I think they're your common folk. I think they are the blue collar worker who goes out and works hard every single day. And the last thing they want pushed down their throat, or to be drinking is a beer can with that kind of message on it. I just don't think that's what they're looking for. They want their beer to be truly American, truly patriotic, as it always has been, truly America's beer, which Bud Light was and probably isn't any longer.
All right. Well, there you go. And it's sad to see an American iconic business going belly up, but that's exactly what's happening here with Anheuser-Busch. And I don't think they've learned their lesson. Not one bit, ladies and gentlemen. Do you? Meanwhile, speaking of companies going woke, have you heard about what's happening over at NASCAR? Man, they've completely lost their minds. So there's a driver named Noah Gragson, and you may or may not like him. He's one of these controversial guys. But I don't think he meant to be controversial here. The guy's been suspended indefinitely because he liked a meme, right? All right. So his entire career may be jeopardized because he clicked the like button on Twitter. And this particular meme mocked the death of George Floyd. Now, Gragson is 25 years old. He's from Las Vegas in his first full season of the Cup Series. He did not create this meme. He just liked it. And now he could end up being out of a job. So NASCAR is playing hardball here. But here's what I don't get. So I saw the meme in question, and I'm not going to repeat it. It's offensive. I mean, it really is, and it's it is inappropriate. But again, is it bad enough to where so now I have to describe it. So it's basically there's a crab, and it's the song Under the Sea and Under the Knee, and it's got, instead of the crab face, it's got the face of George Floyd. It is what it is. But it's not like, you know, there's no bad words involved. There's no noose involved, none of that. So anyway, NASCAR says, no, this is not good enough to suspend him for the weekend. He's suspended indefinitely. So here's what I want to know. Over 77,000 people liked that meme. How did they find out that the NASCAR driver liked this meme? I mean, how did that happen? Is somebody going through every single thing that this guy has tweeted, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's evil incarnate? By the way, Bubba Wallace still hasn't gotten in trouble for the whole fake news thing, right? So what about that? If you're going to punish this guy, then why would you not punish Bubba Wallace for what he did? It makes absolutely no sense to me. But anyway, people are saying, hey, look, NASCAR is taking a hard left turn now, and something's got to be done about it. I'm not sure there's anything that's going to be done about this. NASCAR has made the decision, and they don't care about you fans anymore. They're taking that left turn, and you're either going to be with them or you're not. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Patty is on the line. Hi, Patty. What you got for us?
Hey, Todd. How's my friend doing today?
You know, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. How's the diet going?
You know, it's going okay. It hasn't been great because it's been like 300 degrees outside. So, you know, it's hard to get out and do the exercise. But I'm heading out today after the show for, for a couple of miles.
Yeah, well, be careful when you go out.
Thank you. Will do.
Okay. Listen, I want to talk. I want to get off the DeSantis and stuff like that. Well, I have other things. I don't even want to talk about him. He's a whiny little brat. Let me tell you something. I want to talk about that riot. What do you think about that? Isn't that not an insurrection?
So this was New York City. This was Union Square. I'm very familiar with that area.
Right.
And you had thousands of the Utes, and they were there allegedly to get some sort of, free PlayStations or something like that, and then all you know what broke loose, and they were clashing with police. The videos are pretty horrific. I will say this, Patty, the first thought that came into my mind, try that in a small town.
Yeah, love it. I know. And I'm saying, because my daughter called me, she goes, Mom, she was visiting her girlfriend. She didn't know what the heck was going on. All hell broke loose, she said. It was like you couldn't believe.
Was she there?
She was in Brooklyn. But she said you could see they were beating, they were punching cops and everything. How come nobody got arrested?
It's a great question. I think a couple of people did get arrested, but you know they're not gonna press charges. You know go ahead.
I would call this an insurrection. Wouldn't you call that?
Oh yeah, I mean it was a full blown riot, no doubt about that. And I would say, you could make the argument that it was an insurrection.
But inciting a riot—that's what they're charging Trump with.
No doubt about it. You know, it's interesting. My favorite part, there's some video. Oh, my gosh. This triggered the urchins. So this guy tried to do something to the cops. And so the cops grabbed the guy and, you know, they're putting up against the side of the back of a New York City taxi cab. And the guy's face goes right through the glass window. And people are horrified. Oh, police brutality. No, the guy was attacking cops, and the cops were doing what needed to be done.
I understand. And I got to say one thing, though. I love you playing that. The guy was stealing the cigarettes. Ow, ow, ow.
Isn't it great? I want that as my ringtone.
That is so, when I hear that, I'm thinking, you know what? You are right. Smoking is hazardous to your health.
It really is. I mean, it'll take a couple of years off of you. All right. Patty.
I love you, Todd.
All right. Take care. Good hearing from you. Yeah, I forgot about the riot over the weekend. That was insane. I mean, these Utes were all over the place. I mean, if they were, beating up people, attacking poor innocent strangers, pulling people out of their cars. Patty's got a point. I mean, this was an insurrection of sorts. I'm just saying. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We've got video of the riots up at toddstearns.com, and I would encourage you to check those out because there was some pretty crazy stuff going down. Also, I want to remind you, our good buddy Mike Lindell celebrating 20 years, over 80 million MyPillows sold, and he's got some great deals for us over at MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. You're going to get a queen-size MyPillow for just $19.98. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a game changer. I love my MyPillows, and I've got a lot of them. Again, a queen-size MyPillow, just $19.98. Regular price, $69.98. You're going to be saving a lot of money. So be sure to check it out, MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my last name as your promo code, Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, or you can give them a call at 1-800-839-8506 and take advantage of this great 20-year anniversary special. All right, folks, hour three coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, I got sidetracked last week and did not have a chance to offer my thoughts about President Barack Hussein Obama. Or as the men in his life called him, Barry. Oh, Barry. Barry. So Barack Obama is making some headlines, and this is all very bizarre. But in 2017, there was a book written called Rising Star, The Making of Barack Obama. The author of this book, his name is David Garrow. It's a 1,472-page book, which is probably why nobody knew about this salacious detail written, tucked away, if you will, in the book. So anyway, David Garrow is a very well-known and renowned historian. So this is not just some sort of a Joe Blow, pardon the pun, who just wrote a book about Barack Obama. This is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian. So this guy has street cred, as the young people say these days. And in this book, we learn that Barack Obama fantasized about having sex with men. And if you were married to... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It is what it is. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Clinton was in the same boat. So anyway, here's the deal. The New York Post, and I thought they did a pretty good job of summing all of this up. I want to read from the New York Post. It turns out that Mr. Garrow sat with Obama for 8 hours over 3 days and obtained letters from three of his former girlfriends. Among them was Alex McNear, Obama's girlfriend, when they both attended Occidental College in Los Angeles. So Garrow is doing an interview with The Tablet, and here's the quote. So when Alex showed me the letters from Barack, she redacted one paragraph in one of them and just said, it's about homosexuality. Oh, are your ears perked now, ladies and gentlemen? The letters eventually ended up at Emory University, where the most salacious bits were transcribed by hand by Garrow's friend Harvey Klier. Quote, so I emailed Harvey and I said, go to Emory Archives. He spent his whole life at Emory, but they won't let him take pictures. So they would not allow him to take photographs of Barack Obama's letters written in his own hand. So Harvey has to sit there with a pencil and copy out the graph where Barack writes to Alex about how he repeatedly fantasizes about making love to men. In his time with Obama, Garrow found a stunning similarity between the 44th president and his successor, Donald Trump. Quote, I've sometimes said to people, I think Barack is actually just as insecure as Trump. Well, I don't think Trump is insecure anyway, but in ways that are not readily perceived by the vast majority of people. I think that's probably my most basic takeaway. Obama 62 has no interest in building the Democratic Party as an institution. I think that's obvious, the author mused. Well, this is true. Barack Obama wants to destroy the country. That's what he wants to do. Garrow revealed he thinks Obama would be too lazy to serve on the Supreme Court, which President Biden said he'd nominate his former boss to if he'd take it. Quote, he'd be terrible because he's too lazy. This is in the book. It goes back to him being Hawaiian. At one point, he says, I'm fundamentally lazy, and it's because I'm from Hawaii. That's close to the actual quote, Garrow said. Rising Star made headlines when it was published, and it was revealed, among other things, the former president was a sex machine shortly after he moved to New York City in the 1980s to attend Columbia University. And you know what's interesting? Nobody's talking about this. Nobody. I mean, it's interesting in the conservative media world, but remember what was it? Time Magazine called Obama our first gay president. Did they know something that the rest of us did not at the time? Just curious about that. The headline from the Daily Mail, Barack Obama biographer David Garrow revealed ex-president's gay fantasies. So, my question, oh, here we go. This is a good line. Previously, in the biography, Garrow unmasked how a young Obama considered a gay relationship while at college and cheated on Michelle with his ex during their first year of dating. So I'm curious, was it just dreaming or did he actually do the deed? Did he do the deed? Anyway, everybody's coming after David Garrow now and accusing him of being a racist and anti-black and anti-Obama. No, the guy's probably a left-wing lunatic, but he's got this street cred. I mean, he wrote the biography of Martin Luther King Jr. for crying out loud, so I don't think that they're going to be able to get away with that. But it is very peculiar that to this day, we really don't know much about Barack Obama. We don't know much about his upbringing, and we were not allowed to ask those questions. I remember on the campaign trail, I tried to ask those questions. I was Fox's embedded reporter with the campaign, and they always blew us off. They didn't want to, again, pardon the pun, they didn't want to have anything to do with us. I remember towards the end of the campaign, this was, who was on that plane with us? The embedded reporters, I think Chuck Todd and Jake Tapper, among others. And we were all just sitting around one day and someone, and I believe it may have been Tapper, made the observation, you know, we really don't know a lot about this guy, to which I replied, well, wasn't that our job? So for whatever reason, they did not want us to know about Barack Obama. I don't believe we've ever had a chance to talk to anybody who grew up with him, who palled around with him, who actually went to college with the guy. I don't recall any of those interviews. And I think it was all intentional. But I'm not surprised that he has no interest in the Democrat Party because Barack Obama is not a Democrat. Barack Obama is a communist. And he wants to fundamentally transform America. That was his campaign promise, and he is living through that in the third term of his administration, which is being helmed right now by Joe Biden. So there you go. Is that a big deal? Are you surprised that Obama likes the dudes, allegedly? I don't know. Very peculiar. But it would explain a lot. Anyway, 844-747-8868, that is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868, and we have no idea whether they were just fantasies or if he acted on the fantasies. So I posted some video over the weekend on the Instagram, and it came up with a red alert for people. And someone brought this to my attention, and I was rather amused by this. It was a collection. I'm going to play the audio from this video, but it says missing context. The same information was reviewed by independent fact checkers in another post, and it's missing context. Well, I was shocked because all we did was share video after video after video of Democrats calling for violence and unrest. Cut number 17.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick them.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
That's it right there, pulling up.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
All right. So none of those people, and very prominent Democrats, very prominent members of the mainstream media, calling for violence against conservatives, and specifically President Trump, calling for the assassination of Donald Trump. And I'm curious to know why these individuals have not been arrested, why they have not been charged with crimes. These are their words. We didn't edit anything into what these individuals said. This is a montage of Democrats calling for violence against conservatives, calling for violence against Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump is on trial for his life right now. For what? Because he called for people to march peacefully in the streets. He called for peaceful protest. Now, I know in the charging documents, they edited those parts of what Donald Trump said out, but the facts are the facts, and Trump called for people to protest peacefully. But they turn a blind eye to those who are literally causing violence against conservatives. And I'm not going to go back and relitigate what happened in 2016 and 2020, but time after time after time, you had Democrats physically attacking and assaulting Trump supporters, some of them as young as 7 years old, in the streets. And their crime would be wearing a red MAGA hat or a Trump T-shirt. And for that, they were beaten and left bloodied in the streets. There was no condemnation, none whatsoever. So, folks, I have dedicated myself on this program to providing you with the rest of the story. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the rest of the story. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Well done, you. We got word from Kirk Cameron late Friday that the library in Huntsville, Alabama, had a change of heart after just mere moments after he wrapped up the interview with us. You folks lit up the phones. sending over all the emails. It was a pretty brilliant strategy. And the Huntsville Library had a change of heart and said, you know what, we're gonna host the Kirk Cameron Riley Gaines book signing after all. So once again, proving the power of all of you folks listening to this radio program. So good for you. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. John in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey there, Mr. Starnes. You know, when you were playing that cornucopia of Democrats and liberals threatening conservatives, you know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of that song by Jason Aldean, Not in My Small Town. Also, here's a fact, and I really truly believe this. Conservatives, first of all, most of us live out in the rural areas and suburbs. And first of all, we shoot better, we shoot straighter, and we hit our targets better. And they can do all the threatening they want, but if they tried to come out into our small towns, it would end very badly for them. Yeah, they would be bloody. But the point is that the conservative, like you talked about it, right now all these liberals have awakened a sleeping giant with a terrible resolve. And I'll hang up and listen for your comment, Todd. God bless you, brother.
All right. God bless you, John, and thank you for that. Yeah, look, the Jason Aldean song is very appropriate for what's happening in America right now. Not in, you know, try that, you try that in my town. Yeah, you're not going to do that. You're not going to see the riots. You're not going to see the home invasion robberies. And I know everybody's upset about the lyrics to that song, but there's nothing offensive at all in Jason Aldean's his music. Nothing at all. Pull up any kind of a rap song. I dare you. You want to talk about violent lyrics? Okay, we can have that conversation. But with Jason Aldean, try that in a small town. He's right. He is right on the money. And that's what angers them, is they know that these kinds of values are different in small towns. We don't put up with that nonsense. And by the way, that's why so many people in this part of the country are leaving places like San Francisco and Los Angeles and Chicago, and they are moving to smaller towns and communities. Now, the problem here is, are they bringing the values with them? And if they aren't, well, you're going to have problems. So you got to make sure that when people are moving to the small towns, they don't take their big city values with them. You can't do it. You cannot do it. All right, I want to play some audio real quick. This is Congressman Chip Roy, and I love what he has to say about the Justice Department here. Cut 22.
To freedom. This country wants their country back. They want to believe in America again. They want to actually know the rule of law is being enforced. So we should use the power of the purse in Congress. And I can tell you right now, for all my colleagues, I will not vote for a continuing resolution or any funding for DHS or DOJ if we don't get changes to both. I want the border secure. I want DOJ restored to following the rule of law. And we should use the power of the purse, as James Madison wrote in Federalist 58. It's the most powerful weapon against an over-tyrannical executive branch that we see unfold right now before our eyes.
But if you take money away from law enforcement agencies, how are they better able to do their jobs?
Well, it's not about taking money away from them. It's about saying you're not going to get a blank check on September 30th without the president coming to the table and coming down to the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue and sitting down and saying, okay, here's what we're going to do to restore the Department of Justice. Come down and say, here's what we're going to do to secure the border. We're going to pass H.R. 2 that we passed in the spring. We're going to get rid of Alejandro Mayorkas. We're going to pay Texas back. We're going to actually put people down on the border to do their job and actually enforce the laws as they exist. With the FBI, let's actually put a special counsel in charge of what's going on right now with the Biden investigation instead of just leaving it to the politicals to not actually pursue the facts. We can demand that because we hold the power of the purse.
So the question is, will the Republicans have the man parts necessary to do the right thing and withhold the funding? You're going to go after Trump on trumped up charges. You're going to do it on your own dime. Forget about using the taxpayer money. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I seem to recall, after Obama left office, didn't he visit the gay ambassador to Italy? I may be mistaken there. We'll be right back. One of the things that we've been doing here on this radio program is is introducing people to the Patriot economy, and it's been so exciting to see so many businesses growing as like-minded people are supporting organizations, for example, like Patriot Mobile. And honestly, that's where I really appreciate the great work of Timothy Plan, because they're all about investing with biblical principles. And many of you, you know, you may think that, you know, you're doing the right thing by getting involved in your company's 401k plans or your and they're investing in certain stock portfolios. But what you may not be aware of is that you, good and decent church-going Christian listener of this program, may in fact be funding some pretty woke, horrible organizations like Disney. And so Timothy Plan comes in and they do all the work for you. They're able to go in and investigate all of these funds, and they're able to find out using some incredible filters what we should and what we should not be investing in. And I just really appreciate the great work of Art Alley and his team. Of course, Art founded Timothy Plan way back in 1994, and he joins us today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Art, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, Todd, after listening to that, I'm doing even better.
Did I do a good job explaining? I'm doing pretty good.
You did a great job, yeah.
You know,
well, you were substantially correct.
Well, all right, I'll take it. You know, we were just talking a few moments ago, and I just want to play a little bit of this. We're not going to play the full thing. This is the latest coming from Disney, where they are promoting a young man who is dressed like Minnie Mouse. And it's a video on the Disney Style TikTok account. Dylan, let's play a little bit of this.
Let's get dressed. Today, we're looking at the most iconic friend group, Disney's Mickey and Friends. And the character most like me is Minnie Mouse. And I have the most perfect dress to start the look. It even has little Mickeys on it. And I love how bold of a red it is. It's just like Minnie. I'm
okay, enough. I can't handle it. Art, it's a young man. And again, a lot of people may just now be waking up to the fact of what Disney is doing by grooming their kids. But this is just one example of how you need to be informed before you start investing in these companies.
Amen, brother. You know, this is not new for Disney, as you well know, I'm sure. Ever since we launched, they have been on our screen out list. We would not invest. But as things deteriorate, these companies are getting more and more bold, and they're doing it because there hadn't been much pushback. But Todd, as we're witnessing now, I'm getting encouraged because I am seeing finally pushback from people of faith and people of values. They're figuring out, you know, I don't have to go to Disney. I don't have to shop at Target. I don't have to drink Bud Light. And, of course, we screen them anyway for other reasons. But, you know, these companies, it's almost in your face because we have been sitting back very comfortable pursuing the American dream of unlimited prosperity and let live, live and let live. But we're finding out they're starting to knock on our door. And that's encouraging to me. The people are starting to stand up. And it all goes back to almost spitting in the face of God. Everything that he has given us in his book, it seems like this world is doing the exact opposite, and we know why, because we know he's the God of this world. But Disney is not new to us. We have never been able to own Disney, and we are in Orlando. They're in our backyard. I can't take much more of that.
Art, you have one of the most beautiful websites, and it is so user-friendly, which, is, as a matter of fact, as soon as you go there, a little thing will pop up and it'll ask, you know, hey, how can we help you? But one of the things that you guys do, and again, you've been coming on the program for quite some time now, and some people have been listening and maybe they haven't made the bold step to check out what's happening at Timothy Plan. But take us through that process. Somebody comes to you and what's going to happen? As soon as they go to Timothy Plan, they say, how can you help me?
Well, you know, if they call us, the first thing they're going to find out is a human being will answer the telephone, not a computer. and they will connect you with another human being who can answer all of your questions. But Timothy is simply a family of mutual funds. We've got 12 different funds and different asset classes, 7 exchange-traded funds, and they are primarily used by financial advisors for their clients. So we don't have a lot of clients come directly to us, but when we do, we take very good care of them. And we've got tools that will amaze them. I mean, the average person, you know, you go to a financial advisor, you go there so he can guide you on what to invest in. But you have no clue of what these companies that are behind this investment may be doing. And if you did, you would divest in a heartbeat if you have any value system at all. And people are starting to do that finally, Tom, and we couldn't be more pleased.
So just so you know, folks, we're talking about the expertise of over 40 individual money managers. Anyone can invest, and all the funds are morally filtered through biblically responsible investing. So, and you guys do that work for the client, which I think is great. And it really does help sort of realign your investments with your Christian values.
Man, you know, if everybody who claims the name of Christ, and they do it sincerely, I'm sure, would simply behave that way. Understand, if I ask any Christian whose money is it, they're going to tell me it's God's, right? And they're not really telling the truth because their behavior in a lot of cases doesn't line up with their conviction that it really is God's. And that's where we come in. We make it easy for them to find out. And, you know, we've got the tools that are available to them. All they have to do is call us to let them know where their money is currently invested. And Todd, I'd be not doing a service if I didn't point out, you know, these companies, they're not doing it on purpose. But if they don't research and screen out where you're investing, you're going to end up owning companies that you just that are really trying to destroy us, and you don't want to do that.
It's a great point. And again, folks, you can talk with your financial advisor and ask them to help you align your investments with your values using the Timothy Plan family of funds. But if you don't have a financial advisor, you can also invest directly with Timothy Plan, and you can do that.
Absolutely.
You can do that by going to timothyplan.com. All right.
That is correct. Or call us, 1-800-TIM-PLAN, and we'll be glad to help you. We are in the service business. You know, God called us to do this, and we take every phone call very seriously.
All right. So that number again, 1-800-TIM-PLAN, or you can go to the website, timothyplan.com, and check out all the information there. Art, always good hearing from you, sir.
Man, that's you make my day, man. We need to talk more often, probably, but keep up the good work.
We'll do our best, and Art, always good hearing from you. Art Alley, ladies and gentlemen, the founder of Timothy Plan, investing with biblical principles. All right, we're going to leave that there. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going right to the phones. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. Let's get to the phones here. Heading over to Lafayette, Louisiana, our great affiliate, KROF. Brandon Cuomo and the great team there. At Town Square Media, John is on the line. John, what's going on?
Well, I guess I don't have to tell you how great of a place Lafayette is.
John, you know I've done 2 book signings there, and spent a lot of time with your friends over at KPEL, KPEL, and there's nothing finer than watching that sunrise over the Cajun Dome.
You've been talking lately about what's going on in this country and when it began, with time frame. And I just wanted to remind America the way things, to remind them, the way things have raised their ugly heads and when they started. And I wrote up a couple of lines here that if I'm allowed to take just a couple of minutes to read them off.
Well, we don't have a lot of time here, Jod, but give us the nuggets. Give us the talking points.
Well, first of all, one of the timelines that we could look at is the night that Obama got up there on the stage in Chicago and said, we're going to change the fundamentally the way things done are here in this country.
Yes, sir.
And you got to remember the Bergdahl swap, one cowardly traitor for five terrorists, giving billions of money on pallets to Iran, Obamacare, you know, you can keep your doctor if you like him. Identity politics, I think that's one of the biggest things that happened in this country. We grouped people into little groups that they could manipulate. Did nothing about politics, the divisiveness in politics. Did nothing about ISIS when ISIS was on the move. He didn't do a dadgum thing. He opened up Cuba and, let's see, allowed Attorney General Holder to ignore a subpoena. And finally, I think the biggest and worst mistake he made was choosing Joe Biden for his vice president.
Yeah, so you put all of this together, John, and what do you think the bottom line here is? What do you think this is really all about? You've got some good puzzle pieces there. What do you think it's all about when you put it all together?
Well, you know, you made a mention a few minutes ago about Obama being a communist. I think when all of this started, it was so that we could develop into a socialist country. I don't know if I could say that today, that he's a communist, but I think everybody in the administration is a dadgum socialist.
Well, I think there's a lot to that. Ultimately, I think socialism and communism are next door neighbors in a zero lot line neighborhood. You know, there's at this stage of the game. But I think Obama's presidency destabilized the nation. And people, even in within the Republican Party, did not truly understand to what extent. And maybe they still don't to this day. But I think Donald Trump certainly understood that. And that's where we're at now. Go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought that these things might tweak some people's minds to remember why we are in the situation we are today. And, you know, with this foolishness with Joe and Hunter and the illegal aliens crossing the border, they're not doing anything for this country right now. We just have to hope that somebody, and it may be Trump, who knows, we just have to hope that somebody who's a Republican gets his chance to sit in the White House and maybe, straighten out some of the things in this country.
All right. John, great call, and thank you for listening to us down in Lafayette. By the way, John, best place to get a po' boy in Lafayette.
Oh, yeah. The corner store?
That's it. That's it. You know, every time I ask somebody from Lafayette, that's where they're sending me. And I've had the roast beef, the debris po' boy, and a shrimp po' boy. And
one of the
finest po' boys I've had down there.
And I tell you what, one thing I'm going to do when I become a millionaire, I'm going to send you a case of a beater root beer.
Woo!
So you can have with your next po' boy.
I love it. John, you're a man after my own heart. Appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Folks, it doesn't get much better than a delicious roast beef po' boy and some Abita Springs root beer. I'm telling you. All right, let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Steve, listening to us on WDUN, our awesome affiliate there. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. And I agree with the previous caller, but quickly before I get to my larger point, maybe Ron DeSantis is a roaming Catholic. I don't know.
Wow. I see what you did there, Steve.
Anyway, so let's go to Joe Obama, the current occupant of the White House. He doesn't want us to say anything bad about his family, so I won't. But if he were a real father, not whatever substitute, whatever he is, he would know everything possible. He would have whatever all over, like all over Hunter's every move. Of course, he does, but he would be doing it from a parental caring standpoint, not from a controlling, seeing what kind of thing Hunter can do for him. Because any parent who has a child who has a substance abuse problem, if they were honorable, they would be doing everything they could to put that kid of any age, to give him the most help they can. And certainly he can afford that. He's not doing that. So he's failing miserably there. And then if he were a real public servant instead of a corrupt self-servant ever since his first run at office, he would be transparent. He would be telling everybody about what's going on with this kid, not making up this baloney about, oh, I don't know anything about what my kid's up to. No, he should know, and he does know, but he's running away from that like that's a good thing not to know. But because public servants, not self-servants, want to run like whatever as far and as fast as they can from any appearance of impropriety.
Now, Steve, there are a lot of great points you're making here. I will say this, and we're running quickly out of time here, so I'll try to make my point quickly for you. I don't believe that Joe Biden views Hunter Biden as his son as much as he does as a vehicle to funnel or to launder money. So I think it's more of a business transactional relationship with Hunter as opposed to the traditional father-son relationship. And this is not something that is new. This has been going on for at least a decade that we know of. And all you have to do to know that something is not right, just look at the bank accounts. I mean, we're talking about a family that is not from a family of means. We're looking at Joe Biden, who has, what, spent 40 years, almost 50 years in Washington. This guy should not have that much money in his bank account. So at the end of the day, I think we're going to understand that ultimately this is about using Hunter to launder the money, which is why the big guy always gets his cut. And the day that Hunter Biden becomes useless to Joe Biden, that's the day that he tosses him aside. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Biden family is in the shape it's in. This is not a family based on love. It is a family based on money. Steve, good call. Folks, we've got to scoot out of here. It's been a great day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. We are on indictment number 4 watch. We'll tell you about that tomorrow as well. Be good, everybody.